Why don't we turn to Matthew? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and let's read verses 21 through 23. Okay. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Amen. It's been good to be woken up and to be sobered concerning the signs of the times, concerning the second coming of Christ and God's eternal kingdom. And it was good to see yesterday how man's government in Daniel chapter 2 is under the control of the Most High God, who rules over the kingdom of men and appoints over it whom he chooses. And we can see that with every empire that has come, that was all under God's administration. And we also saw the signs of Israel, all of the major events that has happened, even confirmed or in line with the Tetrits, concerning the restoration of Israel, concerning the recovery of Jerusalem, and now we are waiting for the peace treaty. The covenant that would enable Israel to offer up animal sacrifices, and that would mark the beginning of the final 7 years before the second coming of Christ. And this morning we want to spend some more time to see the signs of the time, but as it relates to the end of the new covenant. Yes, there is also the signs of the end of the new covenant. And today we want to spend a little bit of time because it directly, I think, most directly affects each one of us and all of God's people today in the church. In the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, let's make sure this goes on. Did I go to sleep again? Just want to make sure it goes on. Yeah, the projector goes to sleep, and then everything else goes to sleep. Is it? It's now. It's got to wake up again. Sorry. Right. Oh Lord, may we not fall asleep. The projector, we had turned off the sleep mode, and still, for some reason, it went to sleep. And that was just like us, in the testimony. So you go to sleep and then it stops. Okay, sorry. I'll just restart this again. Hopefully this will give us also time to restart. Hold on.
The signs of the age of the new covenant coming
to an end. Right. Covenant coming to an end. All right, here we go. So, God also is very clear to us in showing us what are the signs of the coming to the end of the age of the new covenant. And when you read through Revelation chapters 2 and 3, what we see is the prophetic history of the development of the church. And beginning in chapter 2, you already see here the church in Ephesus. And this is the church in Ephesus where the Lord says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." And if you read back into the letters that Paul, the epistles that Paul has written, we could already see in 2 Timothy that all have turned away from him. The churches there at the time lost their best love, their first love. It's not that we are not loving the Lord, but as the best love, they have fallen away. And if they don't repent, then the Lord will take away their lampstands. Right? And the love here is not an emotional type of love, right? The Lord says, if you love me, then what? Keep my commands. Right? And it's not that they did not do a lot of good works, because it did say that they have done a lot of good works. They tested even the apostles, and they persevered and have labored in my name's sake, and even have not grown weary. But they were not obedient to the Lord. That's why in Matthew 7, it says, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Right? So this was the condition of the churches in the early years. And then it goes on to the church in the church in Smyrna. And the church in Smyrna was during the time period where the churches were under intense persecution from the Roman Empire. And many of our dear brothers...
Excuse me, maybe you can stand a little bit over here.
Oh, still, okay.
So that they will see from there.
Got it.
Right.
Yep. So many were... I'll leave that there. Many of the Christians were killed during a time, especially during the time of Caesar Nero. And so the Lord was saying that you will endure trials for a short time, during this period of time. And after Smyrna, you have the church in Pergamos. This is the church in Pergamos. At this point in time, Constantine the Great, he had some kind of a dream or a vision, and he saw the sign of the cross. And if he put that onto his shield and they go into battle the next day, they will win. God signed to them that they will win. And as a result of that, because of this, and they won, he declared the whole Roman Empire to be the Roman Church. The state church was born at this point. So it didn't matter if you were born of God. It didn't matter. As long as you are a Roman citizen, you are part of the Roman church. Right? And this is why in Revelation, it says specifically here regarding the church in Pergamos, it says, "I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is." Right? So we have to begin to see that this is now the church has been mixed in together with the world. How can it be that if you are not born of God, that you could be a part of the church? The only requirement is that you are a citizen of Rome, and you are now part of the church. And this is where the beginning of the state church happened. And again, some things came in. Here you also see the matter of the doctrine of Balaam. This is the matter of, if we go back to Balaam, this is where he is a Gentile prophet, and he was paid to speak today. If you look at that tradition, How many are being paid to speak? And when it's not according to the congregation, then what? So this doctrine of Balaam has come in. And also it says, and thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So again, what is the doctrine of Nicolaitans, brothers and sisters? The Nico is reference to the conquerors, the conquering ones. And the Laetans is the laity, the common, the lay people. And so you have the one who speaks, and then you have the rest who listen. So the doctrine of the Nicolaitans have also come in at to this point. So you can begin to see how far the church has fallen, right? So it started here, and it had fallen all the way down, married to the world. And by the time we reached 527 AD, we had the full development of Roman Catholicism. And this is with the church in Thyatira. And here you can see all the way. Now you have the Pope, and then you have the entire hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. And during this time was a very dark time, because the Bible was locked away. Only those who were educated and those in the hierarchy had access to the scripture. And that's why it was known at the time as the Dark Ages. For 1,000 years, almost 1,000 years, the common people could not read the Bible. They had no access to it. And during this time, when you read about in Revelation, it says, allowing that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality, eating things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. You look at the condition of Roman Catholicism today, dating all the way back from that time until now. I was just recently in Manila, and we saw this Roman Catholic cathedral. It's dark. Just as dark as the ones there in Europe, with many idols and people worshiping the idols, touching the toe of the Madonna, Mary, offering up incense. And everywhere along the sides of the building were sepulchres of the dead, quote, saints. Right? Death was pervasive in this place. And then we're hearing more and more, it's already come out, the sexual immorality within the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. Right? So much darkness. So much darkness. And this is why during this time was the Dark Ages. And it was also mentioned earlier in the conference that it was during this period of time the most Christians were killed during this time. The real Christians were killed in this time. The Roman Catholic Church were the ones that invented the worst form of torture. So this was a very dark period of time. Be aware. And don't think that this has gone away. It's still there. The worship of all the idols, the offering of incense to the idols, all the sexual immorality, all of that is still there, just not yet exposed. More and more are going to be exposed as we move forward. So this is the church in Thyatira. And praise the Lord, when we get to chapter 3, you have the church in Sardis. And we began the period of the Reformation, starting with Martin Luther, when he saw concerning justification by faith. But what did the Lord say about the church in Sardis? It says, These things I say to you who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. This is verse 1 in chapter 3. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. What was the problem with the church in Sardis? When they recovered the truth, Martin Luther recovered justification by faith. But then they stopped there. And that's all they held on to. But the rest of the group was still holding on to all the traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. They did not go on. This is why the Lord says, "For I have not found your works perfect before God." Just because the Lord shows us justification by faith doesn't mean that it stops there. We're not yet perfected. There's still so much more to be seen. There's so much more to be recovered, and especially so much more to be perfected in each one of us. So this was the church in Sardis. But praise the Lord, as we move on through time, we also have the church in Philadelphia. Right? The church in Philadelphia, verse 8 of chapter 3 says, I know your works. See that I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. So praise the Lord. There are some brothers who are faithful, even concerning now the matter of the church. And we began to see the recovery of the proper church life, as we see here in the church in Philadelphia. But it doesn't stop there. There's one more in Revelation chapter 3 concerning the church in Laodicea. And the church in Laodicea, this is the lukewarm church. Right, Laodicea means the opinion of the people. And that has come out also now. And this is the church that is lukewarm. It says in verse 15, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. But then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Right? And this is Laodicea, the lukewarm church. And one thing I want to point out here in this timeline is, you know, as the Lord recovered more and more in Philadelphia, and even for us recently, some of us were in the early years of the church life when it was beginning to be recovered through some faithful brothers there in China. But even if we are in the church in Philadelphia, the verse says here, verse 12, where is it, faithful? Right, verse 11, it says, Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Meaning, there is still a possibility that you may be in a church in Philadelphia, but you would still lose your crown because you're drawn away by the condition of Laodicea. So, at every step of the way in Philadelphia, there is always a danger that we can move into the condition. Fall. If you notice, all the arrows are falling. Right? It doesn't matter how big the fall is, it's still falling. Okay? The point is, the church in Laodicea, we all have the possibility and the potential of falling into the condition of the church in Laodicea. Right? And so this is our situation today. Roman Catholicism exists today. The condition of Sardis, with all the denominations and all of the divisions, that still remains today. Laodicea and Philadelphia remains today. Right? Now remember, Laodicea is the last church that was brought up prior to the second coming of the Lord. And this is really very at the very end now that we're speaking about. So we want to spend a little time just to describe and impress upon you that we are really at the end of the age of the new covenant, because Laodicea is prevalent in this world. When you look at the name specifically, it's the rites or the judgments or the decision of the people. Right? Think about it today. If you look at the condition of God's people today, there's two things that are quite strong. Number one is people's opinion. And number two, it's our indifference. Okay. Today, many people have their so-called ministries. You look at America, so many ministries. Everybody has their own ministry, whether it's a book publishing ministry, or it's a social media ministry, or it's a YouTube ministry. You can look, and it's abounding everywhere. Right? And even concerning the Lord's coming, if you just do a Google to hear about what people are talking about regarding the Lord's coming, there are myriads of videos. And then how do you get ready? Everybody has their own opinion. You know, these days when I speak to Christians and I speak with them about, you know, the last 6 months, we've been speaking a lot about the signs of the time and about the Lord's coming and that there is a need to get ready. And to see that the goal is so clear that he wants us to make us kings and priests in the coming kingdom age. But for some reason, everyone says, well, you know, I have my opinion. I have my ways. The traditions that we've had, that's the way to get there. Everyone says, thank you, but no thank you. Because everyone has their own opinion. The other types of people that I've encountered also when you speak about the Lord's coming is indifference. So what? It doesn't matter. I remember years ago, someone even said to me, do you want the textbook answer? You might know everything. All of the things that we've shared concerning the charts, you know, you all have the charts, you may know the textbook answer. But then there's no response. We're indifferent. This is why it says, neither hot nor cold. And is that okay with the Lord? No. Because the Lord said, I will vomit you out. Right? So we need to understand this is our situation today. And unfortunately, because of this, we are unaware of our pitiful condition of the churches. Right? When you read Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, it says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This is the condition today. In speaking to many groups of people, Christians, you know, many of you have already even testified. When you speak about the Lord's coming or you speak about preparing for the Lord's coming, everyone thinks they're okay. Do you think you're okay? Kyle, are you ready to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Right, we're all in fear and trembling. Are we very clear where our condition is? But unfortunately today, this is the condition of the churches. This is the condition of Laodicea. Right? And it is so bad. Why is it so bad? Because this most important point here is they're severed from the true fellowship of the Lord. the living Christ. Why would it say in the church in Laodicea, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." Wait, isn't the church the house of the living God? Is the church the house of the living God? Yes. But then why is he outside standing, knocking at the door? It's because we have severed our fellowship with the living Christ. That's why he's outside the door. And he's knocking. And he's trying to speak to us and get our attention. But yet what? Today, we have our traditions. Today, we have our own ideas. Today, we say, "I know. I know." It's unbelievable how many Christians I've spoken to who says, "I know. I know everything." But yet the Lord is standing outside the door, knocking, right? And because of this condition, if we are not cognizant, if we are not realizing, at the very end, what you will have is Babylon the Great. When you are completely severed from the head, Christ as the head over all things to the church, and all you have is your traditions and your own ideas and your own concepts, then eventually you'll be part of Babylon the Great. Now there's another sign concerning Babylon the Great that we should be aware of. Of course, in Revelation chapter 17, this is where it speaks about concerning the great harlot. Verse 1, it says, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away to the spirit, in the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy and had seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." This is the condition, ultimately, as the churches continue to degrade. In the end, what you have is Babylon the Great. The description here in Revelation chapter 17 speaks, of course, regarding Roman Catholicism. The outward appearance seems to be nice, but inside is full of abomination, filthiness of her fornication. But there's also the daughters. There's also the daughters of the mother of harlots, right? And this is all part of Babylon the Great. And today, it's very interesting to see that the signs of the end of Roman Catholicism is also very near. It was brought up that there is, it was in the Huffington Post, this was one of the articles, it says, "The St. Malachy Last Pope Prophecy, What Theologians Thinks About the 12th Century Prediction." This came out when the last pope came in, just before the last pope came in. And what is this? There was a prophecy back in the 12th century. And it speaks about that there would be 112 popes. And on the 112th pope, that would be the last pope before the end of times, the end of this age. And so it was already reported in Irish Central, Pope Francis will be the last pontiff. Irish Saint Malachy predicted. So this is just a sign here that we are coming to the coming to the end with this last pope. And then with this current pope, right now he is trying to do everything he can to unite and to bring everyone under one religion. Right, so in Europe, there was even a headline from the New York Times that says, Pope St. Francis, Catholics and Lutherans will recall Reformation. And what they are trying to do is they're trying to bring the Lutheran denomination back into the fold with the Catholic Church. There's a quote that I read. There was one Lutheran who said, well, you know, if we're going to come into oneness, then I'll accept the Catholic way, and started going to the Catholic Church. And even in the NPR, there was a show of unity. The Pope Francis marks the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. There's a huge effort from the Pope to try and bring everything together. The calling, the mother is calling all the daughters together. And the Pope even uses social media to bring Christian unity. And not only that, the Pope said to the church, be more accepting of divorced Catholics, gays, and lesbians. Right? The condition of the church, if we, if all the churches are tolerant to so many things of the world today, eventually this is what you're going to get. Babylon the Great. Right? And so, this is the condition of the churches today. We are coming to the end of the new covenant age. Revelation chapter 3 shows us Laodicea. And then ultimately, Revelation chapter 17, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And Babylon is primed for God's judgment. This is why when you get to Revelation 18, verse 4, it says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Today, God is calling his people out, not just out of Roman Catholicism, but all the daughters of Babylon. All the denominations, all of the different groups, all of the different churches, so-called churches, right? Lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues, right? And it goes on, it tells us what the plagues is. For her sins have reached to the heaven and God has remembered her iniquities, rendered to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, in the cup which she has mixed doubled for her, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see tomorrow. Sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. So, brothers and sisters, let's not be ignorant also as it relates to the signs of the coming of the coming to the end of the new covenant age. We are also here very close before God closes out this age. And the judgment on Babylon will also happen during the time of the great day of God's wrath. So may the Lord wake us up to see the signs of the time as it relates to the new covenant age.
Still have a few minutes. John, would you please bring back the chart of that? Just very quickly. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 very clearly shows us also a signs of the times of the end, especially concerning us, the church, because today we are God's people. And it shows us the development, the historical development in a prophetic way concerning the churches, how God's church is going to develop. It is also actually comparable to the mystery of the kingdom in the book of Matthew chapter 13. Really, God's kingdom is a mystery. And it shows us that not only God is sowing the seeds, but Satan is also doing something. Not only the Lord is going to gain something positive, but the enemy is sowing something negative. Right? So, in this, I'm going to use the stick. It shows us the development. I heard some brothers said, forget about the development of the church. Well, they can forget about it. But it is written in the book of Revelation. You cannot forget about it. You should understand it fully. Even to understand it in a more clear and thorough way today. Right? So at the end of the Lord's coming, you have four possibilities. Because you have four lines. Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos ended here. And from this point on, you see the development. Roman Catholicism will come until the end. It'll continue to the end. Sardis, the Reformation, including all the denominations and divisions, because they all stop and don't want to really continue. Okay, so you have so many denominations, and they are also going to continue until the end. Then you have the recovery of the proper church life. This is a positive line. But it is going upward. It doesn't go this way, but it's going upward. That means, and history shows us, that there are many groups here during this time, and we mention especially and particularly three different movements around this time. You have the Moravian Brethren. I think they're the first one who really saw the church life and the oneness coming together. In fact, that was their logo, the oneness. Right? And then the Plymouth Brethren, it was an improvement. But they also stopped. You know, once you stop and you don't go on, you fall into this line here, Laodicea. And this is a real problem. Even the local churches, so-called, right, they also fell into this line of Laodicea. You cannot be Laodicea. Right, from here, you don't jump up to here, but here you fall down to this line of Laodicea. And today we see among the so-called local churches, there's so many divisions now. And everybody claiming that they are standing on the ground. One city, one church. Now there's one city, but I don't know how many local churches. How many are there now in Toronto? Six. And which one is the right one? Who is really standing in a one city, one church? Everyone. Every group. So which one? Which one are you going to go? Which? I don't know how to pronounce it, local churches. Right? So look at that. And each one claiming they're the right one, each one claiming they know the truth. Right? Each one has their own opinion. Sometimes you just don't know anymore what's going on. Right. Anyway, I don't want to get into it. But at least I hope that we are going on up to this point here. Don't stop to improve. Right. Of course, this is terrible. This is also terrible. This is just as bad. But the true condition today, the last church mentioned in the seven churches is Laodicea. That's why we brought out the condition of Laodicea, because today you have so many opinions today. Nobody knows anymore which one is the truth. Each one has their own views, their own opinion, they have their own work, they have their own direction, they have their own activities, and so much confusion today. Right? This is the condition today that we need to know, and indifference. Right? But we should not forget this is the most important point right now. What are we doing? What do you want to do today? What will assure you is that we are reaching this final stage here to finish God's building work. What is the Lord showing us today? How to build the true tabernacle, which is heavenly. That's why the Lord has opened up the word to us in the book of Hebrews. This true tabernacle is not made by man's hands. There's so many men's hands there involved trying to do something. Not built by men. I don't care how gifted you are. Doesn't really matter because you're not Christ. You cannot replace Christ, can you? Yeah? Right? So, and then it is not of this creation, it says. It's absolutely of the new creation. So the Lord is opening up something to show us. And then the holy priesthood, keeping of the feasts, and all of these wonderful things, bringing the spiritual sacrifices to the Father. Nobody likes to do that, right? You like to just sit down and listen to a message and go home, isn't it? Isn't that easier? Do you want to prepare, coming to the meeting, prepare, bring an offering, learn how to keep the feast? Do you like to do that? Really? Oh, my goodness, you're an exception. Nobody likes that. So we need to continue to seek what is the Lord's way, how to really finish God's work and God's building today. I cannot force anybody to really do it. And we're not doing that, forcing people. No, it doesn't bother me, really. If somebody doesn't want it, that's fine. You know, hey, don't do it. But he who has an ear, let him hear. And he who sees, let him see. And he who wants to practice it and be faithful to do it, let him do it. This is exactly what the Lord says in chapter 22. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Who is unrighteous, unholy, let him be. The Lord is not going to force you. Nobody's going to force you. Just like in Genesis chapter 1 to 3, the Lord did not force Adam and Eve eat right now with a stick. Are you going to eat or not? I'm going to knock your head off if you don't eat from the tree of life. The Lord will never do that. He let you choose. Today, What can we do? You're going to force anybody to do it? You're going to force your children to do it? You cannot force them. No. Right? So today, we really need to see, where are we? Are you here? No. We are now in 2016 at the end, and the 2017 is going to come. So we have to believe that we are here, practicing the holy and royal priesthood. How about that? Preparing to rule with him in the coming kingdom. He's going to make us kings and priests. You want to be a king and priest? Yeah. We are here. Really, we are here. You better believe. I hope we are somewhere here now. This is really our sign today. It's not looking up in the sky, but we should look at the churches, the true condition of the churches. And our Lord is such a great high priest. What do you think the great high priest is trying to do? If you are a physics professor, what do you do? To train people to be an athlete, to compete in the Olympics? No. You are teaching people how to learn physics, right? Isn't it? Right? Training people, right? Hey, in the field of science, you need to learn this, right? So the Lord, as the great high priest, is training us to be what? To be a listener of messages. What is he training you? What is the great high priest going to train you to be? To be a priest, of course. What else? What else? Right, your professor there in architecture. In what school do you go to? Cal Poly Pomona. What is he trying to train you to be? An architect. An architect, of course. What else? Is he going to train you to be a kindergarten teacher? No, definitely not. Our Lord, today, as a great heavenly high priest, he is going to train you to be a... You're not very convinced. He is going to train us to be priests. And that will qualify you to be co-kings with him, to rule. Praise the Lord. Right. And this is the picture that you all need to see. Of course, you're not here. Right? You're not here. You're not in this line. And you're also not here. Praise the Lord. Are you here? No. Where are you? You can either be here or here. Where do you want to be? Of course, here. Right? And here, the Lord promised those who are faithful will escape that great trial that will come upon the whole earth. That promise is given to here. Yeah. If you are faithful. Right? Praise the Lord. So may the Lord open our eyes to see. This is also a great sign for us that we ourselves are today fully involved in. Right? We are not involved in so many other things, but we are involved in the work of the living God, right? To finish the job. Praise the Lord. And may the Lord open our eyes to see this. Once you see this, that's good enough. Praise the Lord. Huh? Amen.